Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay, reading the Odessa American for Thursday, July 2nd, 2020. Front page. MCH adds extra COVID-19 floor by Michael Merlo. MMERLO at OAOA.com. Medical Center Hospital President and CEO Russell Tippin said MCH will be converting their eighth floor into another coronavirus unit after housing more than 30 COVID-19 patients Wednesday. We have seen a dramatic increase at Medical Center in our COVID numbers overnight. Also, our critical care beds and our ICU beds are becoming full, if not full already, Tippin said during Wednesday's virtual hospital briefing. He added that along with adding an extra floor, MCH will also be on a county diversion status until next week, which means only Ector County residents will be admitted into the hospital. Right now, we have got a situation at Medical Center, really everywhere in the state of Texas, where we have to protect our resources, we have to protect our staff, and most importantly, we have to protect our patients, he said. Tippin also said that he is worried emergency rooms will see a large increase over the 4th of July weekend. A Wednesday MCH press release detailed that out of 363 positive patients, 32 are in the hospital, 22 are on 7 Central, including 2 from Focused Care at Odessa, 1 from Andrews, 2 from Ward Memorial, and 1 from McCamey Hospital. 10 COVID-19 patients are in the CCU, including 1 patient from Big Bend Regional and 1 patient from Focused Care at Odessa, who is on a ventilator. 3 of those patients are on ventilators. MCH reported that no persons under investigation are in the hospital, and 601 tests are pending. Odessa Regional Medical Center President Stacy Brown said that out of 810 tests, 95 have been positive, 555 have been negative, 160 are pending, and 9 patients are in the hospital. 3 of them are on ventilators. We certainly see the spike coming in the community, so we are also preparing to be able to open up another floor if needed, especially if it were to happen over the weekend or into next week, and with that working to get more staff in preparation for that as well, she said, adding that they are not suspending elective surgeries, but they are monitoring in case they have to. ORMC Chief Medical Officer Dr. Rohit Sarvanan reiterated the importance of face coverings to stop the spread of the virus within the community and in the hospitals during the briefing, and said that places like Midland and Ector counties would be considered as hot spots, considering the positive case rates and populations. Odessa Mayor David Turner said that with the cases rising and putting stress on the hospitals, he may have to revisit the idea of a mask mandate. A mandate failed during a Monday City Council meeting. Tippin said that although there are sick patients getting care at MCH's ICU, the majority would be those COVIDs that fill that up. He said, addressing a question about Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick's statement that the majority of ICU beds in Texas are filled with non-COVID-19 patients. The Ector County Health Department reported 1,044 positive cases of the virus in the county. A Wednesday press release detailed that 670 are confirmed positive, 374 cases are probable positive, 388 patients have recovered from the virus, and 647 cases are listed as active on the Health Department website. 9 Ettrick County residents have died from COVID-19 complications, and 1,526 cases are pending. 40 COVID-19 patients are currently hospitalized in county hospitals, with 18 on CCU or ICU, and 5 are on ventilators. The health department detailed that the 9th Ettrick County COVID-19 related death was a 57-year-old man who died Tuesday night at a Fort Worth hospital. The press release also showed that 17 of the 19 total cases of COVID-19 are active at Focused Care at Odessa. 4 of the 6 cases are active at Siena Nursing Home. Deering's Nursing Home has had 1 case, which isn't active, and so has Buena Vista. There are 6 total active cases at Madison Medical Resort and 1 total active case at Courtyard Assisted Living. A free city-run mobile testing will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. today at Woodson Park in Odessa, and a free county testing will be available from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the South Ector County Volunteer Fire Department at 4454 West Apple Street. More information regarding the city mobile testing can be located at tinyurl.com/y8a8hz8r. Playhouse Modifies Camp Due to Pandemic by Tony Venegas, T-V-E-N-E-G-A-S at OAOA.com. With summer activities and camps being shut down due to COVID-19, John Murray was among those worried that the Permian Playhouse would be unable to hold the theater's annual summer camp. When Texas Governor Greg Abbott gave the green light for summer camps to resume May 31st, the show was back on. The theater got its annual summer camp underway this past week with a modified format. 25 kids from kindergarten through fifth grade are participating in this year's camp, a half-day camp starting at 8 a.m. to noon, Monday through Friday. The kids are preparing for the premiere of The Aristocrats, July 17th, and will continue with shows the following weekend as well. Murray said that the Playhouse had to cancel shows and limit the numbers of the camp during the pandemic. He added that being able to put on some sort of camp was important to him and the staff. "It just feels so good," Murray said. "It feels normal, or at least as much as it can be. Even with some semblance of normalcy, there is still the reality that the virus is still around. The camp has taken extra precautions with hand sanitizer stations and masks and staying in constant communication with parents to stay safe." Murray added that the kids have been troopers through the early stages of the camp and that everyone has been on the same page with the extra safety precautions. "While taking those precautions, the kids involved are just happy to get out of the house, even under different circumstances and changing habits. It's been a bit of an adjustment," said 11-year-old McKenna Webb. "We just have to stay socially distant and make sure that we're staying safe and all wearing the masks. It's nice to be out here doing something like this," said 10-year-old Piper Baker. "After this show, I'll have been in 6 shows, and I like this one just as much as the others." "Getting to perform is also a relief for the show's director, Samantha Leal. Leal is also a teacher at Milam Elementary School and has a number of kids from her classes in the summer camp. She also was the show director for Mulan, the main summer show from last year. "I was really excited for this after doing this last year," she said. "I really wanted to do this for my kids, especially for the fifth graders that are going into junior high. A lot of them are in this camp, so they can kind of have that last goodbye to elementary school. Liao added that seeing the kids happy is rewarding for her, given the circumstances. Like most teachers and students, she was also expecting to come back after spring break to finish out the year. However, the kids never came back to school. With the restart of the camp, that's allowed the staff to provide a bit of normalcy, and Liao added that she's noticed more engagement in the kids. She also said that it allows some of the kids to be more outgoing with not as many people around. "There's just a lot of eagerness," she said. "They're ready to do dancing and music and whatever else we throw at them. It shows me that they've missed interactions with each other and missed acting and theater." On the net, PermianPlayhouse.com. Giving back. Donation honors those on front lines. OA News at OAOA.com. United Supermarkets gave back in a big way again on Wednesday with a $20,000 donation to the West Texas Food Bank in honor of those on the front lines in the fight against COVID-19. The donation makes the recent donations from United $120,000. As the United Supermarkets banner enters the Midland and Odessa communities, it signifies the United family's transition to using the Albertsons Market banner exclusively in New Mexico. This donation is being made in honor of the team members in Odessa and Midland who have been diligently working on the front lines during the COVID-19 pandemic, United officials said in a news release. WTFB Communications Director Craig Stoker praised the support. "We are so excited for United Markets to come to Midland and Odessa," Stoker said in an email. "For years, under the banner of Albertsons and Market Street, their support has been a lifeline to the people the West Texas Food Bank serves. Over the years, their contributions of food and funds have allowed us to provide over 1.5 million more meals to hungry West Texans. We look forward to being featured in artwork in their newly remodeled stores, and we certainly look forward to many more years of partnerships under the United brand." In addition to company leadership, food bank leaders and local officials were on site for the event. In addition to the monetary donation, U Crew volunteers were there helping unload 100 food boxes for the National Guard to pass out to the food bank's community members in need. The United Supermarkets food truck also provided breakfast burritos to food bank staff, the National Guard, and event attendees. Some of the photos: helping more boxes closer to those delivering them. Jared Vincent places another box on the pallet of dozens of food pantry items from the West Texas Food Bank Wednesday morning. In addition to their $20,000 donation to the West Texas Food Bank, a donation of 120 boxes of food supplies were donated to help with the increased demand due to layoffs and COVID-19. West Texas Food Bank Executive Director Libby Campbell talks about the important role that United Supermarkets has played in helping supply meals for hungry West Texans in the Permian Basin over the years. "United Supermarkets has helped provide over 1 million pounds of food and $120,000 in monetary donations over the past several years." Photos by Ben Powell, Odessa American. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County total, both confirmed and probable, 1,044. Ector County negative, 6,032 out of 8,602 tested, with 1,526 pending. 9 deaths. Recovered, 388. Active, 647. Midland County, 734 confirmed, 15 deaths. Texas, 168,062 confirmed, with 2,174,548 tested. Total Texas deaths, 2,481. U.S. cases, 2,624,873 total confirmed, and 127,299 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Quick hits. Free COVID-19 testing. The city of Odessa has scheduled free mobile COVID-19 testing this month at the following dates, times, and locations. Today, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Woodson Park, 1020 East Murphy Street. July 14th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., Salinas Park, 600 West Clements Street. July 16th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., UTPB Park, Highway 191 and Loop 338. July 21st, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., Lawndale Park, 9201 Rainbow Drive. July 23rd, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Floyd Gwynn Park, 1015 North County Road West. July 28th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., Slater Park, 1001 West 38th Street. July 30th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., Dan Hemphill Central Park, 1201 East 13th Street. Only 200 tests will be administered at each event. Participants must wear a mask or you will not be let in the building. Social distancing will be enforced. Also, bring ID. No appointments or pre-registration required. Children ages 3 and up if child is cooperative. For more information, call 582-7969. County free COVID-19 testing. Free COVID-19 testing is scheduled from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. today at the South Ector County Volunteer Fire Department, 4454 West Apple Street. The testing is free and available to all Ector County residents. To register, visit txcovidtest.org or call 512-883-2400. Car Show. The West Texas Street Rod Association has scheduled a car show benefiting West Texas Gifts of Hope, Hope House Odessa, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday at Crossroads, 6901 East Highway 191. Entry fee is $25 and all vehicles are welcome. For more information, call Chuck Leckby at 559-4259 or visit tinyurl.com/YAUYDQVH. From Staff Reports.
Hello, this is Michael, continuing the Odessa American for Thursday, July 2nd. PBAF gives $700,000 in scholarships. Permian Basin Area Foundation announces $709,624 in scholarship awards for the 2020-2021 academic school year. The foundation celebrates 342 scholarship awards to students primarily from communities throughout West Texas. These scholarships were made possible by generous donors to the foundation's more than 85 endowed scholarship funds. Since its inception, grants and scholarships totaling more than $108 million have been awarded by the foundation. First Five Permian Basin offering Kinder Camp online. First Five Permian Basin will offer Kinder Camp this summer, but in virtual form due to COVID-19. Odessa's virtual camp will be July 13th through the 17th, and Midland's virtual camp will be held July 27th through the 31st. Carla Juarez, First Five Permian Basin's Community Engagement and Data Coordinator, said Kinder Camp is more than just getting future students ready. It's also about preparing parents, a news release said. Though camp traditionally focuses on the children's transition, we are utilizing this virtual experience to place focus on the family engagement aspect and include skills for parents to utilize once their children enter school, Juarez said. The week-long camp is free to anyone in the community, and supplies will be provided for all activities. Registration is open for both the Midland and Odessa camps. First Five will be using Google Classrooms, which both ECISD and MISD use, to get parents familiar with the setting. 100 families from each city will be accepted to attend virtually. At the end of camp, the student will receive a graduate shirt and a backpack with school supplies. Engaging in camp helps expose children to a variety of kindergarten readiness skills and gives parents the opportunity to build skills using positive parenting strategies. This helps both child and parent find success in the school transition, Juarez said in the release. To register, click the link below for the city you live in. The link will take you to a Facebook event. Click Find Ticket, and you will be given access to an application that needs to be completed. Odessa Kinder Camp July 13th through 17th, Midland Kinder Camp July 27th through the 31st. Odessa American Opinion Page, Thursday, July 2nd. Texas View. Hospitals are at capacity. It's time to act, Governor Abbott. The Point. The governor should take official action to prevent a looming crisis. After weeks of touting abundant hospital capacity as the primary data-driven rationale for reopening Texas, it is time for Governor Greg Abbott to take immediate action. There is no time to wait a few weeks to see how things play out, as he suggested last week. News that the Texas Medical Center, the world's largest medical complex, is at 98% of normal capacity and could exceed its limits at any moment should be a flashing red light for the governor to reverse the dangerous course he has been pursuing. To be clear, Houston is not experiencing the death rates seen in the New York area at its peak, but the leading indicators point to a looming crisis. Abbott can show leadership in two ways. First, he should continue to urgently advise all Texans to avoid crowds when possible and make it mandatory they wear masks when they cannot. Second, he should immediately authorize local officials to impose further restrictions, including possibly slowing down the reopening of businesses as local conditions warrant. Greater Houston Partnership CEO Bob Harvey sounded a similar note last week, urging businesses to send employees back to working from home if possible. Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner warned that the city will crack down on businesses that are flouting state and local restrictions for COVID-19. The governor should get behind these efforts, but also take official action. Abbott took a step in the right direction last Thursday when he announced that the state will pause any further reopening until the spike in COVID-19 cases subsides. He also ordered all licensed hospitals in Harris, Bear, Dallas, and Travis counties to postpone elective procedures to protect hospital capacity for COVID-19 patients. But he allowed reopened businesses to continue operating at the capacity limits laid out in his earlier orders and didn't roll back any of the current reopening phase. Nor did he authorize local officials to impose further restrictions to respond to the fast-changing situations in their jurisdictions. Texas has reported record highs in total positive tests and current lab-confirmed COVID-19 patients in hospitals in recent days. the meteoric rise in cases demand a response by the governor, and yet Abbott has refused to order a statewide mandate on face coverings and has moved forward with reopening restaurants, bars, salons, gyms, theme parks, and other businesses while easing restrictions on public gatherings. Medical authorities have repeatedly warned of the heightened risks associated with reopening, and Abbott finally conceded the obvious last week when he publicly took notice of the coronavirus spikes and suggested his plan may not be working. If we are unable to slow the spread over the next few weeks, then we will have to reevaluate to the extent to which businesses are open, Abbott said. But if it's not contained in the next couple of weeks, it will be completely out of control and Texas will have to ratchet back. But why wait any longer to risk such a disaster? With models projecting that even TMC's emergency surge ICU resources could be exhausted by July 6th if the steep rate of new COVID hospitalizations continues, Dr. Peter Hotez, one of the country's top experts on infectious disease, has a better timeline in mind than the governor's wait a couple of weeks and see approach. I want to see a plan in place before the weekend, he said. Governor Abbott, are you listening? Opinion column by the Houston Chronicle. Odessa American Obituaries, Thursday, July 2nd. Dixie Ann Trout Stallings. Dixie Ann Trout Stallings, 72, of Odessa, went to her home in heaven on June 29th. Dixie was born in Council Bluffs, Iowa, on December 4th, 1947, to Elizabeth Miller and Redimus Reed. She was preceded in death by her parents, her husband, Glenn Stallings, her sisters, Elizabeth Ellie Rautio and Pearl Basbell, her brothers, Redimus Mickey Reed and Clark Reed Sr. She is survived by her sons Tommy Trout Jr., Lonnie Trout, Michael Trout, and Jody Trout, all of Odessa. Granddaughters Tiffany McQuitty and husband David of Odessa. Ashley Coleman and husband Brian of Pampa. Great-grandchildren Tommy Franklin and William Smyers of Odessa. Jaden Atkins of Pampa. Sisters, Phyllis Ramirez and husband Rudy of Odessa, Darla Brock and husband Mike of Odessa, and Lana Lynchard of Breckenridge, Texas, brothers Carrie Reed and wife Candy of Odessa, and Tracy Reed and wife Dottie, and brother-in-law Robert Ralchio of Odessa, numerous nieces, nephews, and cousins. A visitation will be held Thursday, July 2nd at Odessa Funeral Home. A memorial service will be held Friday, July 3rd at Odessa Funeral Home with Clark Rocca officiating. Due to the COVID-19, masks are required to attend visitation and services. Death notices for Thursday, July 2nd. Gerald Edward Jerry Choate. Gerald Edward Jerry Choate, 86, of Big Spring, died Monday, June 29th in Lubbock. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Mark Anthony Enriquez. Mark Anthony Enriquez, 59, of Odessa, died Friday, June 26th in Lubbock. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Patrick Clay Rodriguez. Patrick Clay Rodriguez, 31, of Odessa, died Monday, June 29th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 1 p.m. on Friday, July 3rd at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Father Mark Woodruff is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, June 28th, 2020. The Economist. Texas Jobs Recovery Requires Patience, by M. Ray Perryman, head of the Perryman Group. As with the U.S. numbers a couple of weeks ago, Texas experienced an expected uptick in employment in May. The addition of 237,800 jobs led all states and was by far the largest monthly gain that Texas has ever seen. Given all of the bad news for the economy, it's nice to have at least an initial signal that the worst may be over. Even so, there remains a long journey to recovery, and some perspective is in order. Employment in the state is still 917,800 lower than last May, and even further below where it would have been without the pandemic. Moreover, the gain was more than 1 million fewer than the number lost in April, 1,298,900. We are seeing businesses continue to reopen, and jobs have been added as a result. While the recovery has begun, it remains to be seen how smooth or steady it will be. Dropping 1.3 million jobs in April and getting back less than 20% of them in May is clearly not the V-shaped comeback that some are touting. Moreover, we can't expect to add jobs at this rate for months on end. Once the rush of rehiring in restaurants, retail outlets, bars, and personal service establishments stabilizes, the pace of improvement will slow. The ongoing high levels of new claims for unemployment suggest that while the national recovery will likely be more rapid than 2008, Texas was aided by an oil boom, it will take about 2 years to return to 2019 employment levels. Everything could change, however, if we see a major surge in COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations. Some increase in cases in Texas was expected with the relaxation of the most stringent social distancing measures, but the spike is higher than necessary due to lack of adherence to safety recommendations and is becoming alarming. If hospital capacity remains at acceptable levels and hotspots are carefully monitored and effectively addressed, we should be able to avoid another broad shutdown, which would be devastating to the economy, but it may be unavoidable at some level if current trends continue. It is important to recall that the economic crisis was fostered by a health crisis, and full economic recovery depends on controlling the virus. While it is imperative to restore the economy and lessen the suffering that the shutdown has caused, it is equally imperative that we all follow appropriate behavioral guidelines. Turning the corner in the jobs market for now is a welcome step along the path to revitalizing the Texas economy. The underlying structure was sound before the pandemic, and a return to solid growth is on the horizon, but a little patience may be required along the way. Be safe.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, June 28, 2020. Letters to the editor. MCPL has fake opening. Many people use the computers at the local libraries to print because they don't own a printer, and it's cheaper than going to FedEx. So imagine my surprise when I attempted to print from the computer and was told, due to the coronavirus, there is no printing. This is where the fake opening comes in. This is being done to curb folks from coming in. I was told I would need to go to FedEx and print off my phone. You can now go to the bar and eat at a restaurant, but you can't print at any of the libraries. Shame on you. Stephen Harris. Name school after someone else named Lee. While I personally do not see a need to change the name of Robert E. Lee High School, based not on his war record but on his educational leadership as president of Washington College, now Washington and Lee University, nevertheless, it is true that, as a slave owner and political leader, he was not in favor of equal rights. Changing the name of the school would involve more than just a cosmetic renaming, since the name Lee is pretty much set in stone, or linoleum, throughout the school. I would like to suggest a compromise that won't involve jackhammers. Change the person and the mascot, but leave the name Lee intact. In pursuit of that idea, I've compiled a list of 16 people, surnamed Lee, who would be worthy of being the namesake of a school. The list includes military leaders, Medal of Honor recipients, political leaders, and some artists. I have submitted the entire list to the school board, but include a short list below. Personally, I believe George Washington Lee, a black author and Republican political leader, would be a choice all could agree on. However, I also think the students would not object to renaming the school after Stan Lee of Marvel Comics fame. Amy Freeman Lee, artist, writer, lecturer. George Washington Lee, black author, political leader. Hubert L. Lee, Medal of Honor recipient. Sheila Jackson Lee, Texas politician, black woman. Stan Lee, Marvel Comics. William C. Lee, general, father of the U.S. Airborne Screaming Eagles. And Willis Augustus Lee, admiral commanding ships at Guadalcanal, the Olympian. Signed, Mark McDonald. Vote for Proposition A to offset funding cuts. On July 14th, Midlanders will be faced with an important sales tax election regarding medical care. But what will a 0.25% sales tax cost me? I'll spend an extra 25 cents on every $100 purchase. Let's see. A Whataburger might cost me an extra penny, a restaurant dinner an extra 20 cents, and a big screen TV an extra $1.50. I won't spend any extra money on medication or groceries if this sales tax passes. Now, how will this 0.25% sales tax benefit me? It will help Midland Health continue to recruit more physicians. We really need another neurologist. Help fund medical residents through our partnership with Texas Tech University Health Science Center and compensate on-call specialty physicians. There will also be support for primary care providers for treating uninsured and underinsured patients as Medicaid rolls diminish. I realize it's hard to see past the current medical crisis, but future cuts in federal aid will be just as depleting if we do not act now. I encourage you to vote for Proposition A. At least with this election, all shoppers in Midland will help contribute, not just property owners. Signed, John W. Foster, Jr. Vote for Prop A to continue services. My family and I are longtime supporters of Midland Health, and we're actively involved in the Campaign for Tomorrow that funded our state-of-the-art Scarborough Patient Tower. Living and working in Midland for many years, we have seen our local health system grow and improve dramatically, and our community's health care needs are better served than ever before. I have generally enjoyed very good health, but very recently I had an emergency visit and a short stay in the hospital, but I could not have been more pleased with the care and service I received. Midland County Hospital District has proposed a 0.25% sales tax to replace lost federal funding and assure its ability to continue supporting the community health services we all depend on. I'm voting yes for Proposition A. For more details, visit sayyestohealthcare.com. Carol Warren. Vote yes to thank Midland Health. Over the past several years, healthcare in Midland has made great strides, inspired by community leaders and supported by generous individuals, businesses, and foundations, and $38 million a year from the U.S. government. Now, that $38 million will start disappearing. And then what? When my wife, Alethea, and I moved here in 1992, healthcare was adequate, but not nearly as good as it was in the Detroit area where we had lived. We were relatively young, so it was okay, until suddenly it wasn't. A crisis struck, was resolved, but required long-term management from a team of doctors. That worked until some of the doctors moved or retired. Replacing them took a long time, but it finally happened with the leadership of Midland Health and some of that government money. The new team helped improve health, and for that we are grateful to the doctors and to Dew and to Midland Health. One way for us to say thanks and help assure quality health care for more of our neighbors is to vote yes for Proposition A and ask everyone to do the same. Because voting yes proves Midlanders will take care of their own. Jim Blischke.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, June 28th, 2020. Other Voices. Letters to the Editor. Butterford will be missed by Odessa. Odessa lost a true leader this week with the passing of Royce Butterford. A true gentleman, a professional in his undertakings, a doer, not a talker, does not adequately describe the man. He was an individual who truly made a difference in Odessa, serving on both the Odessa City Council and Odessa College Board of Trustees, to name only two of his many civic and community involvements. It was during his time on the Odessa City Council that I became to appreciate Royce Butterford, his professionalism, his work ethic, his desire to do what was best for Odessa, his dedication, are but a few of his attributes. He served on the City Council for 9 years and was selected by the other council members to be the city's Mayor Tim for 7 of his 9 years. That is an accomplishment that may never be equaled. One cannot talk about Royce without mentioning his wife of many years, Helen. Helen is also a doer, working side by side with Royce, sought to improve the community. They attended many functions together and worked on many projects together. The service and work of the Butterfords will serve us well for many years. Larry Melton, Odessa. Democrat machine ramps up again. Once again, we are in an election year with a consequential incumbent Republican running for re-election against the Democrat machine that has ramped up its minions to fever pitch. In 1984, POTUS Reagan trudged through a disgusting lot of ragers arrayed against him. He was re-elected with the narrowest of margins. It was the greatest landslide in American presidential election history. In 2004, POTUS Bush, amid the drip, drip, drip of daily Iraq and Afghanistan military deaths, reported with accompanying photographs and names, won re-election handily. Now, POTUS Trump, recently impeached, then acquitted, has been working without ceasing to dismantle the tentacles of government that have been gradually and incessantly strangling us to freedom death. Yes, freedom death, that moment when our Constitution and Declaration of Independence become meaningless against the burgeoning power of government enslavement. Then, once they become meaningless, Congress will pass a bill that the POTUS will sign that condemns our precious documents and history to incineration. That will be the end of the greatest country in the entire history of man. America will become like all other enslaved failures. Or will it? I believe in the American people. We have been ordered into our homes, sequestered from each other in obedience to government edicts. This might have worked, but for advanced communication technology, coupled with family reconstitution and separation of children from public schools. We've had time to think, observe, evaluate our condition. There are hundreds of millions of Americans who have had about as much bother from the very noisy, made visible, anarchists used by the very minority left to herd us as we can stand. The reason the left has congealed over the past century is patience. They've thrown it aside in their dash to take power over us. Their numbers have shrunk to a comparatively small number, concentrated in a few states and cities, from whence their minions in the media feed the entire country a steady diet of mayhem designed to overwhelm our sense of reality. That, coupled with generational public school indoctrination with leftist mindset, has moved the conflict into our homes and families, younger against older in combat. If the young prevail with their leftism that defies truth, we are sunk. If the older prevail by deprogramming the younger, we reclaim our constituted republic from the destructive forces of evil that have eaten humanity throughout history. Douglas Moss.
Heart failure after viral infection provokes sudden life changes. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach, Thursday, July 2nd. Dear Dr. Roach, my son-in-law had Guillain-Barré as a child and is now 39 and a new father. He has an executive job with nothing strenuous. He cannot get a flu shot and, consequently, got the flu. He has been diagnosed with an infection around the heart and was hospitalized for several days. No one seems able to cure this. Recently, he was told he may never return to work and cannot do any heavy lifting or exercising, including taking care of the baby. My concern is about what is going to happen to his quality of life, attention to his wife, who wants more children, his job, and day-to-day functioning, like just taking out the garbage. Why are the doctors telling a 39-year-old man that sitting on the sofa for the rest of his life is the outcome? Maybe I am unsympathetic here, but is there truth to this? Answer. My suspicion is that your son-in-law has suffered a serious complication of a viral infection, viral myocarditis. It is a rare complication of several viral infections, including influenza, but also other viruses, such as Coxsackie B and even the coronavirus. The virus and the body's response to it both can damage the heart muscle. Based on your reports, I suspect your son-in-law has developed heart failure due to an infection.
Dear Abby, girl's tantrums stymie man's relationship with her mother. Dear Abby, I have met the most remarkable woman, but after 8 months of serious dating, I have realized that she has the worst and most manipulating 10-year-old daughter ever. She constantly claims sickness and now even mental health issues like anxiety and panic disorder, although they have never been formally diagnosed, to prevent her mother and me from having time together. Immediately after her mother agrees to her daughter's request and lets her get her way, the kid becomes happy and energetic and goes back to playing. I feel like she is laughing in my face. The numerous cancellations and tantrums are very upsetting, and it hurts my feelings when the person I love the most in the world sets me aside. I have considered proposing marriage. I have a 13 and a 17-year-old who are both respectful, energetic, and happy. They have been through a lot since their mother abandoned us, but they would never consider acting out like this girl. Last weekend, I was asked to bring her requested dinner and then leave because she wanted mommy to watch her watercolor. Abby, they are together every day, almost all day, and close relatives refuse to watch the child. Is a resolution possible? Should I stay or should I go? When do I have the right to say enough is enough? The constant exclusions make me feel insignificant, counted out in Kentucky. Dare count it out. If close relatives refuse to watch the child so your lady friend can have a break, there may be more to this story than you have written. The girl is fighting for her mother and winning. From where I sit, Mama could benefit from some discussions with a child psychologist and lessons in how to say no to her daughter. Adult relationships are supposed to make both parties feel better, not insignificant. As to whether you should stay or go, I think you would be wise to take a break from this relationship because, as it stands, it is going nowhere. Dear Abby, I have a friend who has stopped by unannounced several times. She'll send me a text, but without giving me a chance to respond, she just pops over. One time I was in the middle of studying for an exam, and it wasn't a good time. Other times I was busy doing something and was startled when she showed up. Finally, I mentioned something in a text about how much I liked her as a friend, but would really appreciate if she would wait for a response to her text before stopping by. It has been 2 or 3 days now, and she hasn't responded. I even said I didn't want to hurt her feelings and hope she understands. I would think most people feel as I do about unannounced visitors, but I could be wrong. I would like to ask her how she would feel about it, but before I do, I need to know what's normal. Busy and bothered. Dear B&B, it is considered normally good manners to ask if it is convenient and wait for a response before stopping by someone's home so it will not be an intrusion. You were studying, but many people work from home and also don't want to be disturbed. Others prefer to be presentable before they have company. Interesting, isn't it, how many self-centered individuals become hypersensitive when called on their behavior.
Horoscopes for Thursday, July 2nd, 2020. Happy birthday for Thursday, July 2nd, 2020. Imaginative, exciting, and empathetic, you are a complex and talented individual. No other Cancerian has as much choice in how to succeed. This is a potentially explosive year for you as long as you trust yourself. If single, you are greatly sought after and must decide if you are ready to commit. If attached, your partner must be supportive of who you truly are. And then ecstasy ensues. Libra loves to analyze you. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21st through April 19th, 4 stars. Today heightens your travel opportunities. Journeys of the mind as well as actual geographic wanderings will take you overseas late autumn. You can start planning and dreaming for it now. A friend from far away calls. Tonight, new concepts broaden your outlook. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th, 4 stars. The veil to the afterlife is especially transparent today. Loved ones on the other side can communicate quite clearly. Listen to what they have to say. Be flexible and objective. Important matters demand your attention. Make your best effort. Tonight, others expect much from you. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th. 3 stars. Your closest relationships will require some effort today. The secret to maintaining harmony is to try to see both sides. Be a very good listener. Avoid legal entanglements. A spouse or partner is about to become more successful. Tonight, allow them to grow. Offer encouragement. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd, 4 stars. Animal companions heal and comfort. At the same time, make certain that cherished critters are current on their shots and veterinary checkups, having had to wait so long. a new animal companion might join you. Tonight, a neighbor's advice makes a difference for the better. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd, 5 stars. The stage is set for serious commitments and a cycle of meaningful creativity. Today brings a burst of artistic energy. A new hobby or project can be shared with one you love and admire. Transformations will reach new potentials. Tonight, life is full of sparkle. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd, 4 stars. Today heightens your devotion to relatives or your extended family and illuminates the important roles they play in your life. You make your dwelling a comfortable sanctuary. It is the time to begin home improvements. Tonight, an early drink with dinner. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd, 4 stars. Today finds you more relaxed than you have been in many months. Pleasant greeting cards, jokes, or thoughtful telephone calls will improve all kinds of exchanges. Communicate creatively. Compose a rhyme. Romance will be in full flower. Tonight, focus on release and forgiveness. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st, 4 stars. The rewards of past labor will be realized. There has been a depth and intensity to security issues for many years. Expressing an attitude of gratitude will be the catalyst for even greater success in the future. Tonight, offer thanks for all that you have. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st, 5 stars. Brilliant and ephemeral, Sagittarius's fiery arrow calls to mind the transient beauty of the Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights. The planets smile on you, and you delight in the company of one you care for. Tonight, either an attraction ends abruptly or becomes more significant. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th, 5 stars. Suddenly, discretion is more important than usual. You may be asked to sign a non-disclosure agreement. You cherish your privacy. Quiet good deeds generate positive karma. You will be aware of the secret worries and needs of others. Tonight, you are a guardian angel. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th, 5 stars. A new sense of direction and purpose develops. Accept invitations from friends or plan a get-together. You realize the blessings of friendship. You accomplish much in record time. Many friends around you now will help you in the future professionally. Tonight, up late. Pisces, February 19th through March 20th, 5 stars. This is a very promising day for recognition, a promotion, or an opportunity for added income down the line. This marks a new cycle at work. Accept changes gracefully in regard to your professional situation. Tonight, write a list of desired goals and affirmations.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.